Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for being the God that you are. You rule in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. You are exceedingly good and gracious in many ways. And your mercies are in great abundance. We don't know really how to express our love and devotion or even to show our faithfulness unto you for all of your goodness. Too often our hearts are cold and indifferent and far from you. Often when we come to you in prayer, we desire to pour out our hearts before you richly. And it seems as if our tongue cleaves to the roof of our mouth and we hardly know what to say. And then oftentimes when we do try to express our heart's desire to you, it seems like it's so many words. But we're thankful that there are times when you come and visit us with special seasons, and our hearts are made to overflow. And even then, when our souls are so filled with the bounties of thy blessings and the nearness of thy presence, we're again speechless. Much like the cherubims in Isaiah's day, when they saw your glory and the train filling the temple, all they could do is look at each other and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." You see, it is as if they too were lost for words to express the glories and the beauties that they beheld. And yet at the same time, I believe that they may likely have expressed far more than what was written in the scriptures. We long for the day when our body and our soul will be united in a glorified state, and we trust that then we will be better able to render a praise and a worship that is far more deserving of what you should receive than what we give now. We've been trying to study somewhat about you and who you are, looking at some of your attributes. And we are dumbfounded in knowing how to use words to express the various qualities of thy being. And I would pray, my God, that you would take the limited words of this sinner and sanctify them by thy Holy Spirit to the hearts and to the souls of those who hear, that indeed you might give to them what each one needs, and that our eyes would be opened in such a way that we might behold thy majesty and thy greatness a little bit better than what we have seen before. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Again, we pray for our nation. Pray that you be with those that rule over us, that they would rule over us for good, that you might grant a reprieve to where our lives can get back to what we consider to be normal. We don't deserve it. But since you are a merciful God and delight in mercy, we are thankful that we can come before you and let such requests be made known, knowing that we must say, "Not my will, but thine be done." Knowing that you are a just and a holy God and you will not be mocked forever. So bless us this day as we look into your word, we pray, to the honor and to the glory and to the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. As you know, we've been looking in our last message with regard to the goodness of God. And I'd like to kindly do a tad of a recapitulation of some of this, and as we pointed out how that the word, English word God, is equivalent to our English word good, and that when you use such expressions of good and other adjectives in a vain and a trite way, you're also taking God's name in vain. Many people do not realize that, and I'm I'm more and more amazed at how few people do realize that. I first came across this back, well, in the 70s, when I preached on the Ten Commandments and in taking the name of God in vain. And in studying that out, I noticed that the meaning of God and the meaning of good and how that they were synonymous and together. And there's a minister that I had preached in his congregation, and he had the habit of using the word good night, just as an exclamation, not meaning anything by it. And in hearing me talk about these things, he was convicted of it. And he asked me to correct him every time I heard him say that. And I was with him for 3 or 4 days, and it was just, he was amazed at how often he did say it. And me being tenacious as I am sometimes, why, I followed suit and reminded him every time. And it wasn't in, wasn't too long that he was pretty well broke of that. And he thanked me for it. But most people don't thank you for it. Most people think that you're being picky and things of that nature. And so, but anyway, the thing about God's goodness is in line with his whole being. We looked first last Lord's Day at Exodus 33, and I'd like to return back to that again and read from that and kind of set the stage, and hopefully as we will conclude on the goodness of God today. But I want to begin at verse 12 of Exodus 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now that's a rich statement there, to know that God knows us by name. He knows us by name. There in verse 12, he said, I know you by name. This is Exodus 33, verse 12. Did you realize, beloved, that God named you before your parents did? How else could he have written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? He knew you. He knows, and he knows us by name. He doesn't just know that we are some character. We're not just some Social Security number. Of course, they've changed it now. They've got letters in it now instead of just numbers in the new cards. But we're not just some identification mark. He knows us by name, just as he knew Moses by name. And that's the reason we find grace in the sight of the Lord. But anyway, verse 13, Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. You ever wonder if God is with you sometimes? He tells Moses, My presence is going to go with you, and I'll give you rest. And he said, And he said unto them, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. He said it again. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now here's what I'm getting to. And he said, I will make all my goodness. You see, the goodness of God is equated with all of the glory of God. And it's equated with the fact that God knows us by name. And he said, verse 19 again, and I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And there's more there that's all good and so on, but I just wanted to read that up unto that and bring it to pass that I will make all my goodness to pass before thee. You know, Proverbs 19:11 says that it is a glory in man to pass over a transgression. How much more glorious is it for the Lord to pass over ours in his goodness? His goodness. Yes. Great, great goodness. And without reiterating everything that we went through last Lord's Day and the last message and so on, we showed how that God is good and he's good continually, that his goodness was manifested in creation and continues to be manifested to us and giving us all the things that he has given us and continues to give us and give us good health and so on. In the mid, the news media is talking about how that 500,000 people are in the United States have come down with this virus that's going around. And while that is seemingly a horrific number, we need to also realize and know that 330 million and 250,000 haven't gotten it. They don't focus on that. They don't focus on the greatness and the majesty and the goodness of God in how many people haven't gotten it. And how we ought to be thankful that God has spared us and continue to trust in him in all of that. But you can see the goodness of God is around us on every hand. He continues to give us food to eat. He not only gives us food, he gives us a variety of food. And he gives us food that we enjoy eating and things of that nature. You know, if somebody didn't like bread and fish, they really had a hard time when the Lord fed the 5,000 and so on. And so you can see how that God is good to us in creation and all of those things. And how that even though we do have sicknesses and trials and afflictions, for most of us, most of our days have been without sicknesses and trials and afflictions. We've had a lot of good days. And we saw that the goodness of God was seen in the fall of man in the fact that he didn't just wipe man out when he fell in the garden. And that even though rebellious man continues to mock God and ridicule him, God continues to give him food and raiment and sustenance and things of that nature. But we left off in seeing that the height of God's goodness in the fall is that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for his people. He sent Christ into this world to pay for our sin debt. The more I live, the more I know that without the grace of God, there is no salvation. Even the angels proclaim the goodness of God at His birth. Look in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The shepherds were in the fields there by night. The angel of the Lord came and told them about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men, there in Luke 2:14. The goodness of God was shown in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Goodwill toward men. It was the grace of God that brought salvation. Titus 2:11 tells us. I won't turn there. But the grace of God that brought salvation. And Jesus Christ came at the right time. Galatians 4:4 says, and when the fullness of times was come, God sent forth His Son, made under the law. But He came at the fullness of time, at the right time. You realize that if Christ had come sooner, it would have been the wrong time, or if He'd have come later. He came at the right time when the fullness of times was come. What does that tell us? You remember some years ago we were studying here on Wednesday night with regard to the congregation of God in history, and we did a little review of showing this fullness of times and how that we went back to around 722 B.C. when the 10 northern tribes were carried off into Assyria and carried off into those that country. And then later on in 606 and 587 and 585 when the southern tribes were carried off into Babylon. And we showed that how in the dispersing of Israel and throughout various nations, the synagogues were set up. And then when the Medes and the Persian Empire came along, there was a little mysticism added to the religion. And then when Alexander the Great came along, why, it set up the world for a one world language. And then when the Roman Empire came along, they developed the road systems, and the statement was made, all roads lead to Rome. And what do you have when Christ came on the scene and set up the gospel, and you had a man like the Apostle Paul, who was a Roman citizen, could travel under the protection of the Roman government, had the roads that led all over the empire, and wherever he went, there was a synagogue. You could just see that the stage was set for hundreds of years. The stage was being set for the advancement of the gospel. When the fullness of times would come, Christ came to this earth. And beloved, take heart. Our God, who rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, was not taken by surprise with what all is going on now. Who knows what stage may be set for the advancement or the coming of Christ for the second time? We do not know, but God knows that. But when He came the first time, goodwill was toward men, even in the midst of trying circumstances and Israel being under Roman government, it was still good that Christ came into the world. I want to read a statement by Arthur Pink. He said, "Nor can God's benignity be called into question because he has not made every sinful creature to be a subject of his redemptive grace. He did not the fallen angels," in other words, he didn't provide any recovery for them. "Had God left all, that is, all of mankind, to perish, it had been no reflection on his goodness. To any who would challenge this statement, we remind him of our Lord's sovereign prerogative." This is found in Matthew 20 and 15. "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" Matthew 20 there is talking about the parable of the man that went out to the early in the morning and asked some men to go and work in his fields, and he said he would give them a penny for the day. And then he went out later and asked others to go, and then went on down to the 11th hour and he asked them to go out, and they went and they got a penny also. And those who had borne and had been working all day long, when it come time for them to get their money, they thought they would get more. He gave them a penny. And they were murmuring and complaining because of their wages. He said, "That's what we bargained for." And he said, "Is mine eye evil because I'm good? Do I not have the right to do what I will with mine own? Does not God have the right to do with his creation whatever he wants?" No, because God doesn't save each and every human being, that's no mark against his goodness. And the goodness of man, I mean the goodness of God, ought to humble man. Look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. We'll just read verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness, the benevolence of God ought to cause everybody to fall down and repent before him. But instead, sinful man too often thinks that he deserves more. Look in Psalm 107. It would do good to read the whole psalm, but we won't do that. But I want to set the stage by first of all reading verse 1. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now this whole psalm is talking about the goodness of God and how people ought to give thanks to God for his goodness. And it talks about how that men go out and they have hard times and they call on God and then God delivers them. And then they go back to the way they were living before. You know, the statement has been made that there are no atheists in foxholes. Many a soldier has cried out to be spared in war and in battle, and made promises to God that they would live a better life. But when they got out of the danger, they went back to the way they lived before. People will have various sicknesses. They'll make bargains with God, and if God will do this, they'll do that, and so on and so forth. But they forget it all. Well, notice here in Psalm 104, well, I'm having a hard time finding where to start. Well, let's just take up in verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. All right, here's one that's an enemy. Psalm 107, verse 2, verse 3. And gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Notice this. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Just think how many people God feeds every day. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction in irons, because they rebelled against the words of the Lord, of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Wherefore he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But it doesn't stop there. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. But it doesn't stop there. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and riseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves there are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Again and again and again and again, God delivers them out of their trouble. When they cry unto him, and then they just go back, go back. I wonder how often it seems like we're that away. Have you not been in a precarious situation, maybe in a storm? Or maybe about to have a wreck or something like that, and have some fear and trepidation of the Lord and ask him to deliver you, and you think that you'll just really serve him a lot better. And in a few days, you're right back where you were before. If he just deliver me this time, a few days, we're right back where we were before. God's good, beloved. He's good to us. I don't know how we could talk about and express just how good God is unto us. I believe that we're so sinful, it would be impossible for us to really, really comprehend just how good God is to us. Just think of how many times God has been good to you, and you didn't even know it at the time. Think about how many years we lived in rebellion to God, and he didn't strike us dead. And in his goodness, he drew us with loving kindness, changed our vile hearts, and caused us to love what we once detested. In my case, things that I said I would never believe, God caused me to love because of his great goodness. It sure wasn't because of any virtue in me. In fact, it was just about this same time of the year that I remember stating in my mind certain things that the Bible taught that I said I would never believe. It was this season of the year, as memory causes me to go back to that time. Back when I was in reality a pagan. Didn't know I was a pagan. Had a good Christian mother. I don't know that my father was Christian at that time. I believe later the Lord changed him. But I know what I believed and what I was thinking and what I was glorying in at that time. I was pagan. I worshiped, well, just kind of give you a hint. I was a teenager. I wanted to go to a worship service with one of my friends from school. My mother was troubled by that. Talked to me a little bit about it. But I wanted to go and be with him because they were having an Easter egg hunt that day. Pagan. And we found a rabbit's nest with baby rabbits in it. Boy, that was the height of the whole thing. Pagan. Pagan. Didn't know it. Most people are pagan today about that. Don't know it. I'm amazed at how many people that I see on social media that profess to be Christians that say, Happy Easter. Easter is a pagan god. Oh, they say, well, that's not what they're thinking. Well, I won't get off into that. Anyway, the goodness of God. And every child of grace also has the goodness of God in him. Naturally, not as great as God does. But goodness is one of those fruits of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. You find an individual in whom there is no goodness. Now, we're familiar with our Lord challenging the young man, and when he called the young man, called Christ good master. And he said, why call you me good? There's none good but God. And so what the Lord was doing was forcing this individual, this young man, to realize that Christ was God. Are you saying that I'm God? And you hear a lot of people, Christians, saying, you know, talking about there's none good but God. And somebody say, how you doing? You say, well, I'm doing good. And people say, well, there's none good but God. And that's true. I didn't take the time to look it up because I didn't have it written down here. But I can assure you, you can get your own concordance down and look where Paul talked about various and sundry people that they were good men. And sinful man, though he is not anything like God, naturally, but he has goodness also because the Spirit of God teaches him to have goodness. This verse says so. The fruit of the Spirit, and one of those portions of that fruit is goodness. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is reiterated in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Yes, righteousness and truth are also included there, but what I'm wanting to point out to us, if a person has the fruit of the Spirit, there is an element of goodness in him that he is to cultivate and develop to the honor and to the glory of God. Aren't you glad that God has mellowed your heart somewhat? If it's the glory of man to look over a transgression, as we pointed out in Proverbs 19:11 earlier, what about us looking over one another? For what? For good. Look over one another for good. Beloved, if you were to try to find all of my faults and pick me apart, you wouldn't have any trouble. Nor me with you. If we were looking for it. But I find God's people, as a whole, are some of the most forgiving. And some of those that desire to express their goodness to others. Sometimes the Lord's people would like to express their goodness more than they can. They just don't have the means or the ability to do so, and sometimes they just don't know about certain situations. But it's good when we can trust in the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Verses 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. This psalm of David, talking about how God blessed him, and even blessed him in battle. But he said that God was his goodness. Not only was God his fortress and his high tower and his shield and the deliverer, but God was his goodness. God was good to him. And beloved, let us trust in the goodness of God. Let us delight in the goodness of God. May I pray that these messages would help us to have a more conscious awareness of God's goodness. And we might, maybe this week you might think about each day before you read the scriptures or have your daily devotion or whatever, you might just take a moment and thank God for his goodness. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." Beloved, we are living in a day of trouble. But God is good. And he is a stronghold in this day of trouble in which we live. And he knows you that are trusting in him. Let's pray. Holy Father, as we prayed before, so pray we again that your goodness will be a comfort to those who hear. And I pray that all of us would try to make a better effort to just just stop from time to time and thank you for your goodness. Yes, my Father, we really don't even know how good you are to us. But you're good. Your goodness extends to the heavens. It knows no bounds. And it is all anchored in the blood righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for your people. Though your goodness extends over the whole universe, may we who love you render praise and adoration for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.